Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of The Flashcast, an unofficial podcast of the CW's The Flash. I'm Steven Bueno.
Cristian Cabrera.
If you're new to the podcast, what we do is discuss every week's episode of The Flash. So this week, we're going to be talking about Season 2, Episode 17, Flashback. Now, this has got to be one of the coolest episodes in the season because it shows Barry traveling in time on purpose this time around. Now, as far as the series has gone, we haven't really seen him do it on purpose. He always does it accidentally. Like, he's always trying to outrun something, and all of a sudden, he's at a different point in time, or he's gone back past a horrific event. Now, this time he does it on purpose, and I like Barry's narration, dude. I don't think if you've heard it a couple of times, but this time it's sort of like with a purpose, and it's a very different Barry than what we're used to.
Yeah, it's very rare that we actually see this side of Barry where he's more philosophical, and actually he has a predetermined reason why he decides to go back in time. Of course, he needs to get faster, and the way how Caitlin pretty much put it towards him, it's like, you're all running the exact same way. The only difference is you're actually closer to the ground where everyone else is a little bit above ground, and increases their speed by 30%. So there's only one reason why he has to go back, because he needs to learn how to do that.
And I like the fact that he on his own like was the one that came up with the conclusion, I have to go talk to Harrison Wells. And I remember like in the part where Harrison Wells, like, he's not Harrison Wells, I'm Harrison Wells. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, we get it. It's just that we're accustomed to you, Barthon, being Harrison Wells. And it's one of the first times that Barry kind of utilizes a weakness to his advantage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because the whole thing, you're kind of more used to seeing Barry being a little broody and kind of like thinking, oh, these guys have betrayed me, these guys have taken advantage of me. But instead of just kind of, you know, sitting with that, it's one of the first times you see him like, all right, cool, you did that to me, well then I'm gonna utilize you for my purposes instead of just letting you do the same.
Yeah, that first instance when he actually does travel back in time, it was pretty good. You see him going through, well, went back in time on some of the purposes that, or some of the main events that have gone right by. And of course, he was concentrated, and then out of nowhere, he just gets stopped by what they're calling the time rates, which is actually a pretty good name that they come up for him.
I gotta say, the battle between Barry and Barry, man, that was pretty cool. And you can definitely tell that this season has upped the CG budget because, you know, you have episodes like King Shark in this season, and then you have the Time Rift, which actually looks pretty legit. Mm-hmm. And not to mention that, but the whole CG sequence between Barry and Barry, they've definitely upped the ante when it comes to CG in the show.
I just find it funny that how cocky he was when he's saying, like, oh, it's just me from back then, so I can easily take myself out. And he actually puts up a fight, which I think is funny. And he's actually supposed to be faster than that Barry.
Yeah, he actually did manage to put up a pretty good fight when it came to fighting himself, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, his past self wasn't as weak as he kind of figured he was. Now, one of the things that we do see throughout the episode is he goes back in time with, what's the dude's name again?
Well, Hartley.
Hartley.
Yeah.
And, you know, that interaction between them. Now, at the end of the episode, that character sort of changes a little bit. But, I like seeing how they mapped out the whole timeline where it was like, okay, you're going to go back to the specific time and this is happening. So you have a 6-hour window where this and this happened. Like, I totally love that, where it really shows them actively like using time travel as an option, because now that can be sort of like one of his other skills that he has. Like, okay, well, you can time travel. Now let's use that to our advantage, as opposed to it just sort of happens randomly.
Yeah, throughout the comic books, he actually has traveled back in time, and he actually traveled through dimensions as well, which is actually one of the crazy things he has to do. But that he has to get faster in order to do that, which I believe when he went back in time, he's supposed to go about 800 miles an hour, a little bit above that to do that. But throughout dimensions,
8,800 miles an hour.
But through dimensions, he has to go through 1,000 miles an hour. That's how fast he has to go through. But that's showing you, like, he's gone progressively really fast. And that's the amount of speed that it takes to do that is pretty impressive.
Now, I will say that seeing Eddie again, that was interesting, man. And you kind of forget where the characters were, because, you know, we're well into the second season. And you forget where the characters were in the first season and mm-hmm. what their interactions are. And, you know, you haven't seen the Eddie character. You kind of just heard about him. And, you know, it's sort of through Iris's eyes and, you know, her mentioning him that you kind of remember that character. But being able to see him again was definitely a touching little moment. And the video that Barry records for Iris was, I think it was a nice gesture, man. And it was nice for Barry to remember that.
Yeah, I kind of liked the way how he did that, because it showed that he knew that Iris was having a problem, and she really hasn't gone over the death of Eddie, and because it was pretty much her one true love, I would like to say that, because they were engaged as well. So him doing that for her pretty much got her to move on. That's why she's dating her boss too. So this is pretty much, it's going to another opening for her to
finally. Scott Evans?
Yeah, Scott Evans, who's the newest editor.
He's got this real J. Jonah Jameson vibe to him, where it's like, the superheroes are menace.
Well, he, I think, was originally an editor for Star City as well. So he knows that the crime was insane there, so he's used to that. And also, I think, Coast City as well, where there's a lot of crime everywhere. So he's used to that. So that's why when he came here, it's like, it's so, I don't know why it's so like calm and there's not a whole lot of chaos, but like we'll make chaos. Just print something that has chaos in it. And it just seems that he wants everyone to feel that there's always a danger every time. There's always something.
There's an ever-present danger that we're not aware of.
Yeah.
Now, throughout this episode, we see Barry's interactions with Ubarthon, I guess.
Yeah.
And you know, she figures it out pretty quickly. He's like, you're not the Barry from this timeline, or you're not who I'm used to interacting with. You're someone different. You come from a different time. So that interaction where they have it in the little time vault where he stores Gideon in the suit.
Mm-hmm.
I love that whole scene because it was one of the few scenes where Barry, he's kind of cocky in that scene when you really think about it. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of bravado, even though he's trapped. When Ubarthon's about to strike him, he tells him, no. Like, you need me alive because for this and this reasons. Like, I'll tell the current Flash and then you won't win. Of course, he omits the fact that, you know, he dies, but I thought it was very manipulative of Barry, and it was cool to see that part of him.
Yeah, this is one of those times when we actually finally see him act almost as the villain, because he has a countermeasure for something, which I think is great. Because that whole reason why when he was actually tied down and he was trying to phase through that, he's like, I can't believe you know that already. I haven't even taught this Barry yet. So you're way far advanced than I thought you would be. And the whole scene where he is going to kill him, he's like, you know, if you kill me, you're not going to go back, because you do eventually go back to your time for say, because, well, we know the outcome of that. We already know what's going to happen. But that was the only way he can convince him, because if you kill me, you're not going to go back regardless.
You know what I just thought about too is, you know, the whole time wraith thing. While it might be a power that Barry has to travel in time, I think the time wraith will be one of those sort of plot devices that they'll use in order for him not to abuse it that much.
Okay, so thank you for bringing up the time wraiths. The time wraiths are essentially, they're the gatekeepers of time. So whenever someone messes with them, they are summoned to pretty much bring order. So whoever was the one that started going back in time, changed something, they go immediately to whoever's the one that did that. Now, Ubarthon even said it too. It's like, I've gone through a bunch of those and I've gotten lucky. Like, you just have to know how to do it. That's why he's so used to time traveling. He's traveled many times, actually. Him from being from the 25th century, he knows how to deal with all that. He's read about time travel and everything else, so he can easily get through them. Now, Barry, on the other hand, he's only done it, what, three times?
Yeah, three, four times, because he does it during that whole tsunami incident. Mm-hmm. Does it again during the Vano Savage fight.
That's right.
And I want to say there's a third time. I can't remember exactly.
I'm trying to remember the third time, too.
But he's only done it a handful of times, and I guess it's a really cool thing to add more mystery to the time force or the speed force and sort of those powers, because while it is Barry's power, the speed force is not something they talk about as this like entity, you know,
mm-hmm.
or like something that can be monitored or something that is monitored. Because when you think about it, it's sort of like it's sort of time and the speed force are these different, almost like establishments. Like, oh, these are these things. These are the guardians. This is the police force that monitors that. And Yubar Thon even mentions, like, we're not the only speedsters. So it makes you think, like, do you think Yubar Thon ran into Zoom at one point?
He probably has. He's from the future. So he probably has gone through. He's gone through the past a bunch of times. So he's probably met some of these speedsters, seen some of them. Like, honestly, even in the last episode, Trajectory was one of them, too. He has traveled through dimensions. So there might have been a dimension where this Trajectory wasn't like the one that we had last episode. This one's going to be different because he might have gone through, I don't know, he might have met the original Zoom, or he might have met the Zoom that's actually Hunter Zolomon as well. So he's met speedsters, which it makes sense he has. If he didn't, that wouldn't make sense at all. If you're from the future, you would have read about these. You would have met some of them, especially a guy with him being well-traveled in time. He would know these people have existed. He has to.
You think that's the show's way of telling you, hey, there's going to be more speedsters to come?
Oh, definitely. Because honestly, we already have Wally West here.
Okay, that's what I was going to get at right now.
Yeah, we already have Wally West here. So there has to be some correlation with him being there as well. There can't be anything else.
So how long, or do you think it'll be in this season, or do you think they're going to wait till next season to introduce Wally West into the fold? Because there's a lot of conversations that Wally's had where he talks about speed, where he talks about getting quicker, where he talks about, you know, the projects that he's currently leading. Now, it sort of all feels like background buildup to him being, you know, either the sidekick or where, you know, where he should eventually be. Mm-hmm. You think it'll happen this season, or do you think it'll be later on?
I'm going to take something from one of the later episodes, from one of the last episodes, and it was the one where they all pretty much essentially go clubbing.
Yeah.
And you know when Harrison Wells' daughter's watch goes off? You know, it went off with everyone in the room, but the thing is, Barry wasn't nearby. The only other person that was near her was Wally and Cisco. That was the only two. Now, Cisco was starting to walk away when it went off. So there was probably already a correlation saying that he was already, probably has some of it inside of him.
Just needs to ignite it?
It probably, that's what I'm thinking. That's probably why he has an obsession with going fast. That's what I'm trying to think.
Sort of like the character that was supposed to be the companion for Firestorm, mm-hmm. the first character.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember his name.
Oh, yeah, the one that ends up being like Tokamak. I forgot his name.
Tokamak, too. Yeah.
Hewitt, that was his name. It was Professor Hewitt.
Yeah, it's sort of, I feel like that might be where they're going with it, where he only had his powers activated after interacting with Firestorm. Now, that might be something with Wally, like it's in there, it's deep down in there, but he needs a catalyst. Now, here's one of the things I want to talk about, too, is at the end of the episode, you see Hartley,
mm-hmm.
and he's good now. And, you know, Caitlin and Cisco are joking around with him. He's, like, part of the team, which they kind of just, like, you know, Barry doesn't make much mention of it. He's just like, oh, yeah, it's kind of a given. To me, it felt like that's one of the things in the timeline that changed. Mm-hmm. Now, do you think there's other things that they're going to start bringing up that have changed, or that's just a one-off deal?
No, I think they're going to mention other things that are going to change throughout episodes. It's not going to be one episode where they're going to tell you everything. It's probably going to be one episode and then another one's going to say that something has changed, because this one is actually one of the biggest things that's changed. Because
oh, yeah.
You had one villain, Pied Piper, who was trapped in his cell, who busted out of his cell last season, and now you have him who actually helped them throughout this
entire, and he's a good guy portion. Too,
and he becomes a good guy, and this is exactly what Wells said too right when he left. It's like, you got to be careful because you might change something, and he did change something. Now this may actually be a really good thing that actually happened, because you've already converted one villain to become an actual superhero with you. So this team is actually gonna get better, because one, he's also a super genius too, just like Cisco. So there's something gonna be here that's gonna say their team is going to get stronger, better, and probably well more equipped.
Yeah, it actually, he seems like an amazing asset, because even, you know, Wells mentions he wouldn't have built the particle accelerator without him.
Mm-hmm.
So it just leads you to believe, okay, then he might have a bigger role as, you know, in the next couple of episodes, or even maybe in the next season. Like, he'll be a character that'll come back, and that'll be for the benefit of the Flash.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the whole Flash throughout the episode is concentrated on getting faster, and he does... get the equation from Yubar Thon. Now, I'm interested in seeing how he applies the equation, and once he has that speed force, how they're going to do it to go back to Earth 2.
I can kind of see what they're going to do with that, because it's funny when they're trying to start the thing up and they're trying to figure it out how it's working. It's like, really? He gave me nothing? And then after he hits it, that's when the whole entire thing pops out of the actual supercomputer that's in there, which I think is pretty cool. And it's essentially everything that he came up with actually did pop up in that entire equation, which is great. Got all that stuff there. But there was one missing link, what he was trying to find, and he eventually finds it in there.
I've always kind of wondered why they don't use Gideon. Like, I've always kind of wondered, like, if it's a program that's still in the room, or what the deal is, because they don't ever utilize that room for what it can be utilized for. Mm-hmm. Now, it could be that Yubar Thon had a connection with it, and that's the only way to do it, or it could be that he carried the program with him, mm-hmm. and that was just an interface. But it seems like that's a really good resource that definitely doesn't ever get utilized. It almost feels like a plot hole in some parts.
Yeah, it kind of does, because even in the first season, Gideon is mentioned as being created by Perry Allen. So has to be some reason why he's not using it. I'm probably thinking he's eventually going to create his own, and that actually is going to become that Gideon, or it's going to interface together to create something even better. But this has been one of those things where they just throw it in there first season. You never make mention of it again, and it just stays dormant. So I have no idea what they're going to do with that. They really do need to use it, because it's information about the future, too.
Well, at the same time, maybe that's why they haven't used it, because it is a lot of information in there. I mean, just from like the little tidbits here and there, if Barry were to pull it up and the name Iris Allen is still there, then it's sort of like, okay, then I'm still in line to get married with her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense if that happens too. Well, it's still a possibility that they're eventually going to use Gideon, but I don't know when, because they really do need to utilize that.
You know, because of Iris and Barry's relationship, and because you know kind of where it's supposed to lead, her dating the editor, it sort of feels like maybe that character is either going to die, or there's going to be some event that's going to lead him to leave town, because that relationship just might not work, because at the same time, you are aware that Iris should kind of, you know, be with Barry. So I'm kind of wondering how they're going to play that out, because right now at the end of this episode where she sees the video from Eddie, it sort of seems like she's closed that part of her life, and she got the closure that she didn't get because of how he died.
I kind of see this as a plot device too, for her to move on, but also because since Barry went to the trouble to doing this for her, like, she's going to probably feel more towards Barry in the near future as well, as becoming, you know, a couple finally, and actually being together, because he said it to her that he loved her. She heard it, and she put a stop to it because she was with Eddie. But he's no longer there. There's nothing really to impede her path. Now she's already gotten that video, so there has to be something there.
And with Patty out of the picture, it just sort of makes it seem like there's still that very likely possibility that in the near future you're gonna see him try something. Because even that part where Joe talks about how he's acting funny with Eddie, mm-hmm. and how he mentions that Barry told her that he loved her. That's not something we've heard about in a while, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The whole Barry and Iris relationship has kind of changed in dynamic.
Oh yeah.
And I'm sort of wondering at what point it's gonna go right back on track.
That might be like another thing that changed from the timeline as well.
Yeah,
that might be one small thing as well. Like, I really think that could actually kind of push it forward now, so it might actually be a thing. Who knows? Like, honestly, who knows?
Well, I'm definitely interested in seeing the next episode, because it finally feels, by the title of the episode, it just sort of feels like, well, we're finally going to get that mm-hmm. interesting matchup between Barry and Zoom, and it's mm-hmm. not going to be the same as it always was. It sort of feels like this time Barry will have the upper hand.
Mm-hmm.
But as this whole season has been going, Barry hasn't had much luck with whatever sort of plan they come up with. It's been like constant fails. So will it work? Will it not? I'm definitely interested in seeing the next episode.
One more thing, actually. It's a hidden gem, but it's very out there. But when the Time Wraith grabbed Barry at the very end of the episode, you can see that it was draining his life force. That is kind of that's kind of a little thing from Black Flash, where he's actually a dead speedster, and all he does is prey on the living. So anyone who's has a speed force, like he's essentially the Grim Reaper of speed forces. So that's what that's coming from. That's what those wraiths are as well.
Oh man, see, now if that character would pop up, that'd be that much more interesting.
Oh yeah.
All right, guys, thank you for listening to this episode of the Flashcast. If you guys want to check out more of the stuff we got going on, head on over to filmbook.com. That's film-book.com, and search for either Steven Bueno or the Flashcast. If you guys are interested in checking out some of the stuff we do outside of Filmbook, you can check us out on YouTube by going to youtube.com/leagueofgents. That's G-E-N-T-S. Or checking us out on Facebook by going to facebook.com/leagueofordinarygents. G-E-N-T-S. If you listen to this podcast on iTunes or any other podcast services, go ahead and rate and review this episode. If you listen to this podcast on YouTube, go ahead and hit that thumbs up video and leave a comment in the comment section. We definitely want to hear from you guys.